Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Myth of American Inequality, How Government Biases Policy Debate by Phil Gramm challenges widely repeated claims that the United States is becoming relentlessly more unequal and that living standards for ordinary Americans have stagnated. Drawing on publicly available economic data and the way it is commonly reported, the book argues that measurement choices, definitional shifts, and selective emphasis can create a misleading picture of who is thriving and who is falling behind. Gramm contends that official statistics and popular narratives often overlook major improvements in consumption, household amenities, health outcomes, and the changing composition of households over time. In the updated edition with a new preface, the author revisits these debates in light of more recent political and policy arguments, aiming to show how the framing of inequality influences tax, spending, regulation, and welfare proposals. Written in a policy-focused style, the book is intended to equip readers to question headline numbers, understand the incentives behind public debate, and evaluate reforms with clearer assumptions about what the data can and cannot prove. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how inequality is measured and why the headline numbers can mislead. A central theme of the book is that inequality debates often hinge less on raw reality than on the accounting rules used to describe it. Gramm points to commonly cited measures such as income distribution by quintiles or the share captured by top earners and argues that these snapshots can miss important context. One issue is the difference between pre-tax money income and broader concepts that include non-cash benefits, employer-provided compensation, and tax credits. Another is how inflation adjustments, household size, and demographic changes alter what the same dollar figure really means over decades. The book also emphasizes that comparing households over time is not the same as comparing individuals, because marriage rates, single-parent households, and the number of earners per household have shifted. Gramm argues that if you treat these structural changes as pure inequality, you may attribute to markets what is partly the result of social and demographic trends. The broader point is not that inequality is irrelevant, but that the measurement choice determines the story policymakers and journalists tell. The reader is encouraged to treat any single inequality statistic as incomplete and to ask what is included, excluded, and normalized before drawing conclusions. Secondly, living standards through a consumption lens rather than income alone, the book argues that focusing narrowly on income can understate improvements in everyday living standards. Gramm emphasizes consumption-oriented indicators such as access to housing amenities, appliances, transportation, communications technology, and broader comfort and convenience that were once luxuries. Because consumption can be supported by multiple channels, including transfers, tax credits, employer benefits, and credit markets, it may better reflect what households actually experience than annual money income alone. Gramm also highlights how quality change complicates comparisons. Many goods and services improve over time, so a simple price index may not fully capture what consumers receive for the same nominal spending. The argument is that when the public hears that real wages are flat, they may assume people are not getting more. Yet many households have gained access to products and services that materially change daily life. This perspective can change the interpretation of policy urgency, shifting the debate from a narrative of broad decline to one of uneven but significant progress. The book does not claim that all households benefit equally or that hardship is absent, but it challenges readers to use multiple lenses, especially consumption and access, before accepting claims of pervasive stagnation. Thirdly, the role of taxes and transfers in shaping the real distribution of resources. Gramm argues that policy debate often treats inequality as if it emerges only from market outcomes, while underplaying the size and targeting of government redistribution. The book discusses how programs such as Medicaid, housing assistance, nutrition support, and refundable tax credits affect the resources available to lower-income households, even when those benefits do not appear in pre-tax income statistics. Similarly, the tax system, including payroll taxes, marginal income tax rates, and credits, changes the after-tax distribution in ways that can be obscured by headline measures. The author contends that if you evaluate inequality without incorporating both taxes paid and benefits received, you risk misdiagnosing the problem and prescribing the wrong solution. A further implication is that some claims of rising inequality reflect changes in reporting and classification rather than changes in lived conditions. Gramm also raises concerns about how selective presentation of distributional data can bias policy choices toward ever larger programs without clear evidence of net benefit. The topic pushes readers to examine after-tax, after-transfer outcomes, and to ask whether proposed reforms target the most meaningful gaps, such as mobility, skill formation, and work incentives, rather than focusing solely on pre-tax income shares. Fourthly, household composition, work patterns, and mobility across the income distribution. Another major topic is how changes in household structure and labor force participation influence inequality statistics and public perception. Graham argues that comparing the incomes of households at different points in time can be distorted by shifts such as fewer two-parent households, fewer married couples, more retirees living alone, and variation in the number of earners per household. If the typical high-income household increasingly has two high-earning adults, while the typical low-income household increasingly has one earner or none, measured inequality rises, even if individual earning capacity has not changed as dramatically. The book also points readers toward the importance of mobility, whether people remain stuck at the bottom or move across income categories over time. While the author is skeptical of claims that the system is broadly rigged against most people, he acknowledges that opportunity depends on education, stable family environments, geographic access to jobs, and policies that reward work. This framing shifts attention from static inequality snapshots to dynamic questions about how long people spend in each income bracket and what factors predict movement. In policy terms, Grant suggests that debates should focus more on pathways to higher earnings and less on portraying society as a fixed ladder where positions rarely change. Lastly, how government and media framing can bias the policy conversation. The book argues that the way government agencies collect, report, and highlight data can shape the narrative before legislators and the public ever engage with policy options. Graham contends that certain official series become the default references in journalism and politics, even when they omit non-cash benefits or fail to adjust for household changes. Once a simplified storyline takes hold, it can crowd out nuance and make alternative interpretations seem fringe. The author also links this to incentives. Politicians and advocacy groups may benefit from emphasizing crisis narratives that justify expanded programs or higher taxes, while media outlets benefit from dramatic framing. The result, as Graham describes it, is a debate that can become less about careful diagnostics and more about moralized claims that are hard to test. This topic encourages readers to evaluate sources, ask what the chosen metric measures, and compare multiple datasets before accepting sweeping conclusions. It also promotes a practical habit when someone cites inequality or stagnation: ask which population, which definition of income, which time period, and which adjustment factors are being used. The goal is not to dismiss concerns, but to improve the quality of democratic decision-making by reducing statistical and rhetorical blind spots. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who follow economic policy debates and want a sharper toolkit for interpreting claims about inequality, wages, and living standards. It is especially useful for students, journalists, policy staffers, and politically engaged citizens who regularly encounter charts about the top 1% or the shrinking middle class and want to understand what those charts include and exclude. The practical benefit is improved judgment by learning to separate market income from after-tax outcomes and income from consumption. Readers can evaluate proposals on more realistic assumptions about how households actually live. Even if you disagree with the author's conclusions, the book can strengthen your ability to test arguments, recognize definitional tricks, and avoid reacting to a single metric as if it were the whole truth. Compared with many inequality books that lean heavily on moral framing or a narrow set of statistics, Graham emphasizes measurement, classification, and the policy consequences of misreading data. That focus makes the book worth buying as a counterweight and a reference point, helping readers compare narratives and decide which reforms address the underlying causes of hardship rather than just the most attention-grabbing numbers. If you would like to support Phil Graham, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.